Hello and you're very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Sathman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley, and I am joined today by Seamus Brainey from Unclehead to discuss this weekend's All-Ireland Senior Club Finals. And it is amazing when we think about it. We discussed it in Seamus' podcast before this podcast, which I think began at 5:30. Check that out if you haven't already. Very good episode. And we discussed these are very, very two exciting games in general. And we will discuss, obviously, the GA main stories of the week as well. There's been a lot of retirements, probably more than the end of the year, to be honest, this week, more than any other week. And we'll discuss the Páirc Uí Chaoimh controversy as well, with Super Value Park being named. But obviously, Cork GA have that on hold now after the backlash it received during this week. So, yeah, Seamus, how have you been over the last few days? The club final's coming up this weekend, and it's amazing to actually think that the Allianz League is just around the corner as well. I think it's just beginning in a week or 2 days or so.
Yeah, I should have been busy. Thanks for having me on. Really looking forward to this episode now. You were laying out, obviously, at the end of my episode there about an hour and a half ago about the things we discussed on this one. And I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the debate about Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The retirements as well, like some legends of the game, truly legends of the game, have stepped away over the last while. Looking forward to hopping into it. And then obviously the crescendo of the club championship this weekend, the All-Ireland Hurling Final, the All-Ireland Football Final. To think where we were a couple of months ago, how many teams were still in the competition, and, you know, you would have been a brave man to say that we would have ended up where we've ended up. Like Kilmacook Croke's gone, Ballyhale Shamrock's gone, Ballygunner gone. Like, it's been a real roller coaster, but we're down to the final two in both sides. And by this time next week, we'll know who the best club teams in Ireland is. So, yeah, buzzing to see, buzzing to get into the conversation as well.
Yeah, exactly. Some exciting games to look forward to, and some exciting stories. A couple of comments actually come in here, and we're 2 minutes into the podcast. Bit of a joke. Today's podcast is brought to you by Tesco. We started already, lads. We're just under 2 minutes.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Super Value. If they're gonna go for Páirc Uí Chaoimh, they'll go for you, Matthew, as well. Anything Cork, anything from Cork.
There's another one here. Has Matthew sold the rights to a college studio? Oh my god. Just for context, lads, I've nothing to do with Cork GA.
The Sports Direct podcast.
The jokes are coming ticking fast, lads. And we will start off with I think there's another comment coming in here. This is about the Bridges game. Thanks God, about no sponsors. I live 10 minutes away from Bridges. I'm a Pierce man, and Bridges could actually win it again. 2013, Thomas's and Bridges won the All Ireland the same day. I have a feeling both will do the same as a Pierce's man. Yeah,
could you imagine? Bit of an omen, isn't it? An omen. Like, I mean, imagine the celebration. I'd say the celebrations would be crazy. You wonder, would they celebrate together? Because obviously, they're so close to each other. They all just go out and go away for the night.
Yeah, definitely.
Or Dublin, but I mean, realistically, they're not going to go out in Dublin because it would cost them about 5,000 each to stay over for the night. It's a mental weekend coming. When you think about it, 1:30, we have the hurling final. 3:30, we have the football final. I mean, you couldn't want much more than that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we will discuss the games in general in the next few minutes, but we will talk about the weekend Gaelic games. And I think we'll start off with the stuff mentioned at the start of the comments, and it is Super Value Park. I cannot believe I'm actually saying this, but Tony Dean reported the story, I think, on Monday night, saying that Cork GA has plans to rename Páirc Uí Chaoimh Super Value Park without the Cuive at the end, which probably caused the most controversy. And it ended up on a county board meeting on Tuesday that they are going ahead with the naming just yet because of the backlash it received on social media. And probably rightly so, but worth noting as well, Cork GA is, with the Páirc Uí Chaoimh redevelopment, is in €3 million debt at the moment, and they're trying everything to gain more money. Like, there's a Munster rugby game against the Crusaders in February, and there's a Bruce Springsteen concert in May. I know it's just excuses, but Kevin O'Donovan actually mentioned that in the Southern Star podcast. a few weeks ago. And yeah, Padraig Lennon comments here, absolute scandalous, worse than GA go. I wouldn't go that far now, Padraig. Seriously. Oh, we have started on this, lads. We have started on this, but I wanted to show you a video actually. If anybody knows the Kerry comedian, Bernard Casey, he's a very definitely worth a follow on Twitter or on Instagram or any social media account. He compiled this ad, this new ad for Super Value, for Parky Keith. So, let's give this a watch and we'll talk about the Super Value Park controversy in more depth in a while.
Want to save over €65 off your weekly family shop? Super Value makes it as easy as
1, 2, 3, go!
1. You get low prices on the own brand range. 2. There's thousands of special offers on your favourite brands. And 3. Money off vouchers get sent to your phone every week. So, just remember the
1, 2, 3, go!
And save over €65 off your weekly family shop the easy way. Only at Super Value.
What a banger. Fantastic.
Credit definitely goes to Bernard Casey for that. He definitely compiled a brilliant video on that. But I went out with all my opinions on TikTok, if you haven't checked it out already. And I wanted to get your view on this, Seamus, as a Dublin fan yourself. Like, what's your opinion on this Super Value Park being named? Like, I think the controversy really stems from the fact that it's not Super Value Park Equive, it's just Super Value Park, and they're taking away the Equive name. Obviously, they didn't, apparently they didn't consult the family over this, which is really bad form from Cartier. But Crackety Ashman, another comment here, lads, they're never this town. I, for one, will only refer to it as Super Value Park from now on. Oh my, the comments in here are probably the most 10 minutes into my own podcast, and probably because of this story this week. But I wanted to, after all that, we get your views in a Seamus. So what do you think of it?
Well, as a dub, didn't like it one bit. Definitely was looking at this thinking like, what's going on? I was like, first reaction was, okay, well, nice, but no one's ever going to call it Super Value Park. But clearly, the crack of the ash there is different. But my first reaction was, do you remember when Mike Ashley changed the name of St. James's Park to Sports Direct Arena?
Mm.
Nobody ever called it that. No one ever called it Sports Direct Arena. Like, everybody called it St. James's, still St. James's Park. Still. And like, nobody will ever think of, realistically, I know there's banter and everything like that, but nobody will ever really think of Porky Creeve as Super Value Park. Like, no one will ever be like, oh yeah, that's where we're going. It's Porky Creeve. And like, the thing that, like, I completely agree with your TikTok and your tweet. Like, straight away, I was like, don't have any disagreements with this at all. And I retweeted it and I said, like, not exactly amateur, not exactly the behavior of an amateur sporting organization, is it? To try and wring as much cash as you can, because the question has to come down then to, how have they ended up here? What's gone on? How have you ended up 3 million in debt? Like, I get the position you're in now and you have to make money. Yeah, okay, all means, but like, why have you ended up here? What's gone on? It's the same thing with Dublin. Like, a lot of people, rightfully so, point out that Dublin played too many games in Croke Park. That's true. That is true. But the GA have allowed a position now. Anybody who's watching this who has never been to Parnell Park, believe me, it would not be safe to host Dublin Championship games in Parnell Park. Parnell Park only holds 10,000 people. And the car park would just, it's literally in the middle of a housing estate. It's not safe to host. It doesn't have the infrastructure to host a Dublin Championship game. It's fine. It's actually brilliant for the Dublin Hurling Championship. I love it for the Dublin Hurling Championship. I love it for the Dublin Club Championship. It's a great, great ground. It's really, really good. But the reality is too many people would show up for the footballers and it wouldn't be safe. So the GAA have allowed this situation to develop over the years. And now we're in a position where the GAA either build Dublin an entirely new stadium somewhere or let them play in Croke Park. So the questions don't need to be asked about the situation that we're in now. The questions need to be asked about what has led to this absolute mess of a situation that they're in now, where like, you're selling the name of your ground. And Like, the one thing as well is that I said it to you off air that someone said at least it's not the Sports Direct Arena, and I was like, wow, that's safe for Porky Rin. Like, that, there's another one there that Cork have. They'll be getting onto that one next. It's just, it is sad to see tradition being picked as kind of their first one to go. And look, I feel for Kevin O'Donovan. He's in a position where, like, it's basically like he's on the Titanic and they've hit the iceberg already. But the questions don't need to be asked of, like, the questions need to be asked of how have you ended up in this position? Who was in charge of this amount of money that you were burning through to get you to this place?
Definitely a very good point. And the comments are flying in here. Three more comments here. And I haven't actually got more comments on a video in my life, I don't think. Peter Byrne in Cork probably broke from stadium refurbishment and super value potential sponsors. Padraig Lyons says here, sure, they may as well name Crow Park AIG Arena that used to be the sponsor of the Dubs.
Stay City. Stay City Arena.
Arnis Arena. That actually, I don't know, AOG or Arnis Arena, they probably, it rolls off the tongue, Arnis Arena probably more. It's 30 million, but it's a gorgeous stadium. In fairness,
it's a lovely stadium, probably
the best in the country. But I'd agree with Seamus here, like, I'd feel sorry for Kevin O'Donovan for being in this situation. He's trying to explain himself on many podcasts. But you have to question how they got here in the first place, 30 million. And another comment has come in here. It sets a bad precedent that shouldn't be allowed to happen. Imagine local grounds changing their names. Disrespectful. And I really
it's a domino, like. Do you get what I mean? Like, you look at other counties that aren't exactly swimming in money, but have historical names of stadiums. And you just think, who's gonna go next? Like, you could pluck any name out. And, like, is Pier Stadium going to be next? Are they going to be called the Supermax Arena? Is, like, is Pork Sean McDermott, like, after one of the rising leaders, is that going to be next? Like, it's just...
That actually, if you just interrupt you, Seamus, that actually got sponsored by Avantcard, I think it was.
Oh, so it actually already has changed?
Yeah, it's Avantcard. I think it's Avantcard, Pork Sean McDermott. But people still refer to it as Pork Sean McDermott. But I think the main point is... this sponsorship deal, it isn't Super Value Parky Keeve. It's Super Value Park without D. Queeve at the end of it. That's what's the controversy this has come to.
But that's it. And I mean, people don't necessarily have that much of an issue with, like, Kingspan Breffni Park or... I mean, there'd be a statue going up of them anyway. But the TUS Gaelic Grounds, like, Kingspan Breffni Park... What?
FBD Semple Stadium.
Yeah, FBD Semple Stadium. And then the way that Netwatch Cullen Park used to be. Like, that's, they're fine. You can absolutely work with them. But Super Value Park, come on, man. Cop on, will you? Like, no one's going to accept that. And that needs to be, like, at the very least, a compromise that you try and work towards. Like, look, that's the other thing as well, is that I seen Billy Morgan came out and he talked about it. And he says, like, the people running it don't understand who Páirc Caoimh was. He doesn't understand how significant of a person that was in Cork's GAA history. And it's just like, yeah, it comes across that way. And look, I've watched a couple of Kevin O'Donovan's interviews. He does seem... Like, from watching them, you can tell looking at him that he kind of knows he's on the defensive. Like, he knows that a lot of people are going to be very unhappy with the way that he's doing. And he's giving off the aura of, like, look, man, this is just my job. I have to do what I have to do. But, like, still people aren't going to be happy. And the reality is find another way, man. Come on. Like, Super Value Páirc Caoimh, that would be okay. Super Value Páirc Caoimh, you're in the situation that you're in. It's not ideal. Like, not everybody's going to be and let's be honest, nobody will say it. Like, nobody will put the Super Value in. But you're in this position because of the spending of people that were around you, if not a system that you were involved in yourself. So you can't be like, oh, well, it's the situation that we're in. So, but no, hang on. People around you are the reason that you're in the situation that you're in. So it's not fair on the Cork fans that tradition is being disrespected like this. It's not fair on the people who built up that stadium that tradition is being disrespected like that.
Definitely so. And another comment's coming here. There must be a right good Super Value stores in Cork. I actually slipped there. There is, yeah, Super Value Clonakilty is very good, actually. Do some way shopping there, actually. But yeah, that's the thing with it, isn't it? There's been ridiculous spending. They can't really be. And remember, actually, with the Cork and Kerry Parky Rinner Nowhere saga, that stemmed from Parky Heave holding an Ed Sheeran concert. And they need the money for that. And yeah, it's going to be controversy after controversy. And even in the Allianz League, which we'll talk about next week in more detail, the first two games for Cork against Donegal and Loud are both away games. And why is that? Because Parky Heath is holding a monster game against the Crusaders in rugby, again, to gain more revenue. And that's the point as well, Seamus, when you think about it. Other than, yes, the Cork hurlers will sell out Parky Heath. There are some brilliant support there. Even the Cork Tipperary game, it was bouncing last year. But right as of now, I know the Cork footballers are getting on the road back to recovery with John Cleary at the end. They're doing really well. But right as of now, Cork and Kerry is not going to sell out Parky Heath. At most, I'd say it'd be about 20,000. That will nowhere near fill the stadium. So is there kind of an argument that Cork GAA need to do whatever it takes to, you know, reduce the debt in the next few years? I know it won't be, quickly in a way, but they have to do whatever it takes, whether it be concerts, rugby games, or potentially these sponsorship deals too.
Well, that's the thing. They need to get creative in the off-season. I mean, they really, really do need to get creative in the off-season. The timing is poor. Like, the timing of, like, why does it have to be during the championship? Why does it have to be during the league? You had basically the entire club championship to work with there. Like, if there was a few years where, you know, Cork had to play their club championship games in Porky Rinn so that Porky Creeve could make the money, I don't think people would complain as much. Maybe they wouldn't be happy about it, but, like, Porky Rinn is kind of similar size to Parnell Park. The Dublin Club Championship takes place in Parnell Park. And nobody in Dublin is at any way saying, oh, we should play this in a bigger stadium. Like, everybody's happy out in Parnell Park. It's a great arena for those club games. It's like, you'd be looking at it saying, okay, come on, use your head now, rack your brain a little bit. You've got the NFL coming over and doing, you know, shows in Dublin, for example, like the Pittsburgh Steelers and, Notre Dame. Love Ireland, like, why aren't Cork reaching out there and saying, like, do you want to come and play a few games in Porky Creeve, a few exhibition games? That would be a great revenue income for Porky Creeve. Concerts over the winter, like, things like this, that could be a good income for the stadium. It's about using your head and, like, at the same time, trying to fill out the stadium as much as you can. Be creative with trying to draw attendances. Cork fans need to rally behind their teams now as much as they ever have before. Because they have a really, really good hurling team. They have a football team that are, you know, climbing up that hill, like dragging themselves up that hill with a really good coach. And then they have on the other side, they have the Camogie All-Ireland champions. They have the Ladies Gaelic Footballers, who are a really, really good team, who made it to the semi-finals last year, who could be contenders again next year. And, like, you look at the little campaign, for example, this, you know, goal of smashing the record and trying to fill every seat in the stadium for the LGFA championships next year. Cork should be jumping on board with that. It would benefit the LGFA to get those seats filled, and it would sure as hell benefit Porky Creeve to get those seats filled as well.
Yeah, definitely so. Another comment coming in here. Only one park to be at tomorrow. It's Fitter Town Park schools game. Rochestown versus Clonmel. Volunteer there. Look it up. Fine place. Semi-final, I think. So, yeah, might be worth looking at, in fairness. But, yeah, there's been a lot of controversy around this and a lot of commentary on social media, TikTok, whatever. But we're talking about it for 20 minutes, though, so we will move on to something else. And we will move on to retirements. And this is probably more positive outlook, in fairness, for the Gaelic games over the last week or so. Not the fact that the players have retired, but we're celebrating their careers. And there's been a lot of retirements this week. Even when I do my 2023-2024 awards at the end of the year, in my football team at the moment, there's only three spots missing. So 12 players have retired in the month of January across LGFA and men's football, which is absolutely incredible. The first of those is, for this week anyway, is James Calla from Louth, retired this week. Obviously, I think it's around 60 appearances for Loud. Obviously, Mickey Hart has left there as well. So, obviously, wishing him the best in retirement. Kieran Hughes from Monaghan, big retirement there for Monaghan. Obviously, an absolute leader for Scotstoun and for Monaghan in general. And you have two LGFA players, and Cathy Harry from Antrim and Tracy Leonard from Galway. Best of luck to them in their future endeavours. Luke Connolly retired completely from Gaelic football this week. And it's a shame about the Super Value part, because maybe his story probably should have been in the news, in news and media more. He retired from Nemo Rangers as well as Cork because of a persistent knee problem. And obviously at 31 years of age, we hate to see that with Luke Connolly. Hopefully he recovers from that, and hopefully, well, we won't see him again in the Gaelic football field, which is sad to see. But I think the main retirement this week, and we talked about it on your podcast, Seamus, Dean Rock retired from the Dublin Senior Footballers. Absolute legend of the game. 2013 to 2023 played for Dublin. Top scorer for Dublin in the history of Dublin GAA. Brilliant player for Ballymun Kickhams. Absolute legend. You remember Lee Keegan throwing the GPS at him? The quickest goal in All-Ireland final history. The point to equalise against Kerry. So many great memories from Dean Rock, and great memories from all that retired this week.
That's it, yeah. And I can just to run through them all. James Cliff, brilliant goalkeeper for Louth. Particularly Sean under Mickey Hart. Tracy Leonard from Galway, outstanding footballer. Then on top of that, like Dean Rock and Kieran Hughes, for me they're the two biggest ones this week. Like Kieran Hughes is absolute leader, definition of a leader amongst men from Monaghan there for years, and some of the points he kicked for Scotstoun in the club championship this year are absolutely remarkable scores. I know Tracy Leonard has a sister, I'm pretty sure, so this is the Leonard gene in the Galway team isn't exactly gone away just yet. But, she's had an outstanding career at Galway as well. She's been doing it now for the best part of over a decade, I think it is. Just an absolutely incredible footballer, incredible servant there to Galway. And they've been hit fairly hard now. Mairead Shoig obviously gone as well quite recently. Like, big players that have stepped away over the last while. 2024 will be a big year for them to try and recuperate and rebuild from there, because there's no doubt like they have the players. Like, when you look at Kilcare and Clonburn and, like, the success that they have with the Noon sisters, and like just so many, the Divilies as well. There's so many incredible footballers that you would be thinking, why has they not put it together yet when it comes to their senior LGFA team? But maybe they'll rectify that in 2024. Especially when you consider that Dublin don't have the likes of Jennifer Dunn going into next year. But like, when you look back, Dean Rock has been just absolutely remarkable. And like, you're right, like all those memories of Dean Rock just show what a clutch player he was. But I'll never forget the one game where I realised just how good he was. It was on a lashing rain summer's evening, Dublin against Meath in the Leinster final in 2019. And Dean Rock had been left out of the team for, I think it was Cormac Costlow, and Costlow was on the freeze. And Dean Rock came in, and I think in the space of about 10 minutes, he hit 4 points or 5 points from play. Like, just every shot he took at the posts, just bam, over, point, bam, point. Like, with every touch he had, he scored. And he's just like, that was the best football I'd seen him play. He just was outrageous, like, when he came in that day. And that was Dean at his best. It was Dean with a point to prove. And you think as well, like, if for anybody who underrates him, that was, I don't think it's a controversial thing to say, it was definitely the best men's Gaelic football team of all time. Like, the best women's Gaelic football team of all time is that Cork team that won 11 in 12 years. The best men's one is Dublin, who won 6 in a row. Dean Rock, throughout all the superstars that came into that Dublin team from 2015 to 2020, Dean Rock was never displaced from that team, really, if you think about it. Like, Jim McConnelly had his time on the sidelines. It took Brian Howard a couple of years to get in. Like, Conn O'Callaghan, he didn't get in until 2017. Paul Flynn ended up getting squeezed out of the panel squeezed off the starting lineup by 2018 and retired at the end of that year. Like, Mannion didn't always start. Like, but Dean Rock was always there. Dean Rock was always there. And, like, just an absolutely incredible footballer for Dublin, incredible servant for Dublin. And you're right, one of the best free takers that we've ever seen. Like, if you had a free kick to save your life, Dean Rock would be right up there as one of the first people you'd want to take it. And potential future Hall of Famer. I don't think that's a harsh thing to say. I mean, eight All-Ireland titles, I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
And even calculating scores over the last few days, I calculated firstly from Wikipedia up until 2021, and then the last 2 years I did for Championship and League. Across all that for Dean Rock in his career with Dublin, 24 goals, 602 points in League and Championship. Like it or not, that is a remarkable record from an absolutely brilliant player. And to break that down, 13 goals and 293 in the Championship, 11 goals, 309 in the League, which is absolutely incredible. And fair play to Dean Rock. And fair play to all who retired this week. And I wish them all the best in the plenty of off-seasons that they'll have in the next few years. And I suppose before we get into the two All-Ireland semi-finals, one more comment, and it is about the stadium again. The TOS Gaelic Grounds of Limerick feels different as it isn't named after a historical figure. You could argue like the Mackey stand is there after Mick Mackey, but maybe that's just being...
Can I make one more point about that? The same, one more point before we carry on. I think the only thing as well that we have to be mindful of is that we don't actually... We're not in the positions where we understand all the details. Like, there are people who are going to be making the decisions there who just know information and just know stuff that we don't. And we see the end result on the outside, which is that they're going to do this Super Value Park thing. And we don't like it at all. So, but when we're talking about when it comes to motivations, when it comes to decisions that have to be made, the people who understand the situation best are the people who are right there in the middle of the situation. But at the same time, everyone is still entitled to an opinion. And it's good to see that the fans were listened to on some level, that they were going to, you know, that the backlash to it has made some sort of an impact. So if you don't want the, what they've shown is that if you don't want the ground to be renamed, make your voice heard. Like, that's it. That's the best way to do it. I was appreciative of that they didn't just power on with it anyway and didn't care what anybody else thought.
Definitely. So actually, I know this isn't as bad as this example I'm going to bring up, but remember the Super League debacle in soccer? Yeah. They announced it on that Sunday evening. Then the backlash because of it. The fans got together really as one, and they stopped this thing. Mm-hmm. So. Fan power is relevant, and yeah, it's a big thing.
It was because Cork understand as well, like, that if the Cork fans then decide, geez, this lot are useless, like, we're not going to the games until they go, where are your attendance is coming from then?
Yeah, exactly. So, and some controversial opinions, controversial story overall, and we will probably park the Super Value Park, no pun intended, controversy to another day, and we will get on to the football games this weekend. Obviously, if there was more time, we'd probably discuss Sigurdsson Cup and schools competitions and all that, but obviously 28 minutes gone, we don't have time. We have to discuss the All-Ireland football finals this weekend. And the first one is the football. St. Bridget's against Wattie Grahams Glen, 3:30 in Croke Park on TG Carr. And it's a huge game on Sunday, this, between probably the favourites for the All-Ireland, maybe, and so many people's opinions from the outset, against a team that are kind of, as fans are shocked to be there in a way. But yeah, it promises to be a good final on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be a cracker. Like, this one is going to be an absolute battle between these two teams. And I mean, you've got Glenn on the other side, Glenn on one side, sorry, who... From the get-go, there's been so many eyes on them. I mean, last year in the All-Ireland final, the way that it went against Kilmacud, if you're going to be honest, you have to say, look, Kilmacud were the better side on the day, but the whole debacle at the end with the two players going off, sorry, with the two players coming on and nobody coming off and 17 lads been on the field for that last play, that did switch the narrative around a lot. And it put a lot of pressure on Glenn as well, I've no doubt, to come back and, you know, earn their shot at the final again. They've managed to do that. They're back in the All-Ireland final here against St. Bridget's. It's a completely different test than that All-Ireland final was against Kilmacud Crokes. And indeed, it's a different test than the All-Ireland semi-final was against Crokes. It's not Newry. It's not going to be fogged up like hell in that game, the same way it was in the All-Ireland semi-final. So it is a different game. The pitch is way bigger. And like on top of that, there's a lot of pressure on them now. They're the favourites going into this final by like everybody. And one thing that you didn't even say this on my podcast was you must be feeling like pretty good. Like you picked Wattie Grahams Glen from the very start to win the All-Ireland Club Championship. They're now only one game away from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of my better predictions, I have to say, considering I've had a few stinkers in the past year or so. I think I actually did well in the Club Championship this year, to be fair. I predicted on Aaron's video, actually, in the Provincial Championship, I predicted three out of four. The only one I didn't predict, coincidentally, was Bridget's winning Connacht. I did say Cara Finn, while the two lads, Kevin Kennedy and Aaron, both said Roy Collins to win it. So I was close, to be fair. So to be fair, I've done well in the Club Championship in football and predictions, and just one more step now for Waddy Graham-Glynn to go on and win it. But I think we'll get on to our predictions in a sec. But even looking into, I was going to look at Waddy Graham-Glynn's scores and runs of the final. There's another comment coming in here. Crack of the Ash, looking forward to the hurling final. I think Thomastown are going to horse them out of it, though, but or are they least capable of it? I think you got your finals mixed up, mate. Thomastown were in it last week in the
I'm guessing St. Thomas's.
I don't know. He probably means Thomas's, yeah. Yeah. Or even does he mean the other Kilkenny team in Auckland games? I'm not sure, but will you?
I think it's we'll St. I'd be fairly confident, but I don't know.
Yeah, but Thomastown were good last week, I have to say, beating Castleloney by 16 points. Brilliant win.
Fantastic win. And like you look at some of the players that they had to be playing at that level, like they really swept the victory in that game. And look, we will obviously discuss the hurling final as well. I think when we go back to Glenn as well, we were talking on my show about what can Glenn take from last year's final into this one. The main thing they can take from last year's final is the lessons that they learned, that they really gave up control of that game. Danny Tallon got the goal early on. They looked like they couldn't have got a better start to the game than Danny Tallon getting that goal pretty much immediately. And then they very much surrendered control for the majority of the game to Kilmacle Crokes. And that's how they ended up in the position that they were in when, you know, Danny Tallon fires in that 45 and Crokes have 17 lads in the field. But they'll know deep down in their hearts that they didn't play to the level that they were capable of playing at. And that's why Malachy O'Rourke came out and said, look, Crokes were the better team on that day. And I respected them for saying it. Maybe playing possum a little bit by being like, oh, they were better than us. And then try catch them going into the All-Ireland semi-final. One thing that I find quite interesting about this final is when you look at their semi-finals, there's a lot of comparisons. There's a lot that is comparable, between how St. Bridget's beat Castlehaven and how Glenn beat Kilmacud. Both winning teams did a lot of their heavy lifting in the first half. Both of them completely switched off for large enough chunks of the second half. And then both of them pulled away slightly at the end and got a couple of crucial scores at the end, which got them over the line. And like, that is something that I find quite interesting, as in who's going to break that trend more than the other one.
Yeah, exactly. We will get on to the hurling final in just a bit. And yeah, you were right. It was actually St. Thomas as he did me, not the other Kilkenny team in O'Loughlin case. So well done to Seamus for that, for pointing that out. But we will get on to Waddy Graham-Glynn and Bridges. We'll start off with Waddy Graham-Glynn, their scores and their run to the final. So I'll start off with their run to the final here. This post will be put up on my Instagram and Twitter in just a tick, probably after this podcast goes out. So their run to the final, they beat St. Catharines Dungiven by 115 to 9 points. Then a win against Lavey, Owen Rua, Cole Rain, Michael David Swarta, and Ban the Screen and Bilahi all in the group stages. So long Derry group stage, I have to say. Then they beat Kilray in the quarterfinal. Beat Schlottneil by 2 points in the semi-final. And really, from the Schlottneil game, they started to get tough games from here on in after that. Okay, the Maharafel game in the final against O'Donovan Rossa was a bit of a whitewash, 116 to 7 points. But then in the Ulster Championship, they beat Erin's Own Carrigan by 11 points to 7. Worth noting, actually, Tomás McCann from Erin's Own Carrigan got sent off in the first half of that game. So easily, that game could have easily turned if Tomás McCann stayed on the pitch. But ifs, buts, and maybes, we all talk about those. In the semi-final, they beat Niamh Quinlan from Donegal, 10 points to 1-6. Tight game, that one. And then they beat Scotstown from Monaghan, 13 points to 11 in the Ulster final. Of course, then moving on to the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, they beat Kilmacud Crokes by 114-210, a brilliant scoreline in fairness, and even looking at their total scored 14 goals, 152 points, that's 112 per game, and they've conceded an average of 10 points per game, so it's an average winning margin of 5 points, so they are doing well in their All-Ireland run. Just a quick look at their scores as well. This is their scores for the Killarney game in the Ulster quarterfinal onwards, because obviously the match reports in the Derry Championship are kind of scarce. So Danny Tallon's top for the quarterfinal in Derry onwards with 212. Emmett Bradley with 15 points. Conor Glasser there as well. What's interesting, actually, in the top three scorers, two of them are the midfield bulldozers in Emmett Bradley and Conor Glass. Eden Doherty's fourth with 116 as well. And they have a total, that's a load of different scores. I think it's 18 different scores for Rottie Graham's game, which is absolutely incredible in its own right. So, yeah, they're the favourites for the All-Ireland final, and rightly so.
Yeah, they are favourites, and I think when you look at them and you look at their run to the final there, the one thing that you can't deny at all is the heart. Like, when you look at the, you know, how many games they had to go through to win the Derry Championship, they beat Sláinte again. They are the kings of Derry for right now. They get past the Sláinte side that had Shane McGuigan, Chrissy McCaig, Brendan Rodgers. Like, that's a hell of a trio to have in a club side, but Glenn got the better of that. Contest, go on and win the final against, you know, a Maharafel side that had the likes of, you know, Conor McCluskey in the team, and they really, really made it look easy in that Derry final. They get out into the Ulster Championship. Look, the Carrigan game was tricky enough. Like, they really did make, you know, a tough game out of that for themselves. Tomás McCann getting sent off, a lot of people thought that was harsh, and a lot of people rightly point out Tomás McCann's one of Aaron's own, Carrigan's best players, and if he stays on, the game might have been a lot tighter, because he's a finisher as well for Carrigan. He's one of their best forwards. They get through it, and then they go in against, after that, I think I'm getting mixed up. I know they played Scotstown. It was Scotstown in the Ulster final. Who was at the Ulster semi-final again? Refresh my memory. Nave Cunnell. That again was a game where it came down to the wire. Emmett Bradley hits that shot over the bar, pretty much the last kick of the game, to win it. And like, Leo McLoon was on my podcast there, my latest interview, absolute gentleman. But I asked him about that game, and asked him about it, kind of, you know, like, you were so close to them, like, and he was like, ah, you just, they're a cracking team, like, they just kept fighting, and they managed to find a way over the line. And then you lost the final against Scotstown. Again, the one thing that you cannot, and you cannot understate about Glenn, is how good they've been so far at just keeping their head in these situations. Whenever something seems to go against them, or whenever a team seems to get the run on them for even the smallest little bit, they're very good at just getting the grip back on the game. They haven't been blown away in any game really that I've seen. Like, they really, like, a team hasn't really got the run on them. Kilmacud got the run on them for a tiny bit in the semi-final. But Glenn still answered with a point, and then Crokes went down and answered with 2 points or something like that. But they didn't go completely stale the way that Bridgets went completely stale against Castlehaven in the semi-final in the second half. Bridgets went 17 minutes in the second half without scoring. Like, if you do that against Glenn, this is done. Don't even talk to me about winning the All-Ireland club title if you're going to go 17 minutes of the game, let alone the second half, without scoring. It's not good enough. Like, so, look, the reality is Glenn are coming into this in a much different headspace than they were last year. A lot of people were already saying before the All-Ireland semi-final that whoever wins this game will be the champions. There's been plenty of examples down through the years of the so-called tougher side of the draw getting out into the final and getting completely caught by the team that came out of the other semi-final. But, like, my favourite example is Sligo-Roscommon 2010. You know, Sligo beat Mayo and Galway on the way to the Connacht final, and they played Roscommon, who had beaten Leitrim in the other side of the draw. And then a certain Mr. Donny Shine just absolutely shot the lights out, and Roscommon stunned Sligo and took the Connacht title. And, like, so the reality is, if Glenn take St. Bridget's lightly, Bridget's will turn them over. I make no mistake about it. It's a type of game that I feel like if Glenn dropped their level anyway, like, they're going to get caught. But I don't think that they will. I think Malachy O'Rourke is a hell of a coach, and genuinely probably the best club manager out there right now. Like, he's just so accomplished in everything that he does. And he will have them drilled and ready. He says, we've won nothing more than we've won last year. Kieran McFaul is back. He's massive. Yeah, we'll dive into it. But I think Glenn are favourites for that reason, and that they have, you know, battled past every team, including Kilmacud Crokes. But the one thing that we are going to get into is, you look at their scores, two of the top three are midfielders. And we were talking about this on my podcast. Could we see Brian Stack moved out to the midfield? I think we could, because I don't see a Shane Walsh, Paul Mannion style threat in there that they have to. I don't see a Brian Hurley, Michael Hurley style threat in there that they have to put Brian Stack on to mark. I think Danny Tallon is good, but I don't think that he needs Brian Stack to mark him. I think Brian Stack could be moved out further to potentially go on someone like Ethan Doherty, or it probably will be picking up Ethan Doherty, but maybe we might even see him playing around the midfield, you know, going toe-to-toe with Conor Glass, Emma Bradley or Kieran McFaul to help Shane Cannan and Eddie Nolan.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see that. All right, we'll move on to Bridget's in their run to the final and their scores. So their run to the final was... in the Roscommon Championship, it was a tough game actually to start off against Padraig Pearse, as the past champions, of course. They were on an All-Ireland run themselves a few years ago. They beat, they were beaten by Bridget's 11-9. And from that game up until the final, it was really plain sailing for Bridget's, to be honest. They beat St. Dominic's, Michael Glavy's, North Roscommon, and Roscommon Gales with relative ease. And then they beat Boyle with the likes of the Smiths and Darragh Craig in the final by 12-11. Moving on to Connacht, they beat Culair Strandhill and hammered them really, 113-3. I think there was a point in that game, a long period of that game actually, that Culair Strandhill failed to score. So that it epitomises how good Bridges defence can be. They beat Mohill by 178 points, and then they beat Carvin in the final, 113-25. So that's a 5-point victory. And yeah, they beat Castlehaven. They're probably toughest game in past Roscommon, the Roscommon final against Boyle. They beat Castlehaven 111 to 10 points. They've averaged 212 per game, and they've conceded an average of 8 points per game. And we talked about Glenn winning by an average 5 points. Bridges have won by an average of 10. So that's pretty impressive in fairness for St. Bridges. But arguably, they could have been facing more exterior opponents. I don't know how to describe that there, but probably lesser quality opponents is the word I'm trying to look for there. But yeah, Bridget's did what they must in that run to the All-Ireland final. Look at the scores here. Ben O'Carroll, 7 goals, 32 points, which is incredible. Bobby Nugent, 1 goal, 25 points. Kieran Sugru with 3-11. Brian Durbin, 2-7. And we talked about Glenn, two of their four top scorers, or three top scorers in general, are midfielders. All four of Bridges' top scorers there are forwards. Three of them are in the full forward line. One of them is centre forward, like Kieran Sugru. Paul McGrath then with 10 points as well. And there's a plethora of players there as well. So Bridges, they're good in attack, and they are good in defence as well. Worth noting in that run to the final, if I bring it up again, they have only conceded goals in this run to the final. The Culair Strandhill, when the game didn't matter, and Corfin, well, the result didn't matter for... The game didn't matter for a long time, is what I'm trying to say, because of Culair Strandhill being so far out of that game. And Corfin, they conceded 2 goals. That's it. That's basically it. So they've conceded 3 goals. They haven't conceded in a plethora of championship games. They didn't concede at all in the Roscommon Senior Football Championship, or at all against Castlehaven. But yeah, this is going to be a big test on Sunday, despite those stats.
Yeah, the one thing that is noticeable about the Bridget's run to the final, if you could just pop the scores back up on the screen, just is that when the average of winning the games, like the average of scoring 212 a game and conceding only 8 points a game, like that is very impressive. But then you look at the results in the Connacht Championship, or sorry, in the Roscommon Championship. I'm not trying to take this away from them at all, but there's two games there that are like unheard of, or three even unheard of levels of victory in, you know, club championships. Like beating St. Dominic's 119-4 points, beating Roscommon Gales 415-12 points, and beating North Roscommon by 715-7 points. Like those type of results aren't, they're not what you would apply as being, okay, well, they beat North Roscommon by that much, therefore they're going to beat Glen. It's good stats, but in my, like, the equivalent I would give is, it's like saying, say for example in boxing, if they put them in there against a team, or put them in there against a fighter who's just there to get knocked out so that the promo for the next fight looks good, it's like saying because Anthony Joshua beat whatever Pulev that he's going to go and beat Tyson Fury, or he's going to go beat, you know, Alexander Usyk. It's not comparable. This is a whole other ball game going up against Glenn now, and the stats look great, but the reality is that when that ball is thrown in, all of their previous results mean nothing. And they, like, Jerome Stack and Malachy O'Rourke, they're gonna get that across to the players. Whatever you've done before doesn't matter. Just because you're Conor Glass, or just because you're Brian Stack, just because you're Ben O'Carroll, just because you're Kieran McFall, no one's going to give you this All-Ireland club title. You have to go and take it. And the reality is, Kilmacle Crokes will be back next year with a vengeance. This is a good opportunity for both of these teams to get their names on the trophy. Glen have a golden crop, and they're going to feel a lot of pressure to get an All-Ireland club title to make sure of that golden crop, because Sláinte are going to be at them next year. Scotstown are going to be at them next year. Errol Kieran might get out of Tyrone. Crossmaglen Rangers might go further next year. All these things are very possible next year that Glen do not get back here, because they've had to battle and scrap their way here. And they've had some absolutely dangerous moments on their way here. And Bridget's too. Bridget's didn't concede a goal against Castlehaven, yes, but they have the crossbar to thank for that. if it's an inch thinner, Rory Maguire's shot crashes in off the crossbar. And the whole game changes, because Castlehaven would have went ahead if that shot from Rory Maguire went into the back of the net. So, because that would have put Castlehaven ahead, wouldn't it?
It would have, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, Bridget's completely switched off in the third quarter. They did not turn up to the races at all in that third quarter. And they woke up with about 10 minutes to go, and they hit a couple of key scores. I think it was Robbie Dolan or Conor Hand that hit the point after 42 or 47 minutes.
It was Robbie Dolan, and then John Cunningham got an insurance score as well.
Yeah, the substitute at that point was fantastic. That was massive. And then Ben O'Carroll and Paul McGrath, who hit those points. The wing back coming up, Paul McGrath, he got a great score. And then Ben O'Carroll getting the penalty. They woke up when they were right on the edge. They woke up right on the edge and managed to save themselves. But if they do that against Glen, this game is finished. They know that.
Interesting comment coming here from Gavin O'Reilly. Just to give a bit of context, they're up to Roscommon Championship. Now, Roscommon is a combination of junior and intermediate teams, much like in Cork. So, but the best teams, like Castlereagh, who actually got to intermediate all over the semi-finals this season, didn't send players. So that result probably affected Bridges after score. So maybe a bit of context there for the viewers or listeners.
Another team like the Kerry, East Kerry, West Kerry, like, what was it? East Kerry versus North Kerry final again.
But to be fair, if, I know we don't want to go deep into that, but a bit of context as well. Kerry, it's the ninth best club down. In Roscommon, I'm sure it's the same as Cork, the 13th best club down. So the door sides are considerably weaker. And the fact that Castlereagh, the best team in intermediate this year, didn't send any of their players probably just shows there isn't much of an oomph behind the divisional teams in Roscommon.
Yeah, well, like, that result definitely shows that, like, they weren't ready for Bridges at all. Like, I haven't seen the game. I haven't read up on the game, so I wouldn't be too comfortable saying that I know what happened. But, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to realise that you were outgunned if you concede 7-15. And score 7 points. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those that a score line like that is 100% going to put up your average score that you get and the average that you concede, especially the Coolera Strandhill game. I think there was a stage that game where it was 10 points to nil in favour of Bridget's. So, like, Coolera hit a little flurry at the end, which kind of made it. But, like, look, that speaks to the defence of St. Bridget's. Like, that was a Coolera forward line that had Niall Murphy. Like your Sligo's best forward. So, like, you can't argue with the strength of the Bridges defence.
Definitely so. And yeah, there's a lot of narratives in this game. The fact that you would argue, and we said it on your podcast before this, Bridgets have the best attack out of the two teams, but Whatty Graham then have the best midfield defence, and Conlon Bradley is arguably a better goalkeeper as well. So, is this kind of a situation that if Whatty Graham then can stop the likes of Ben O'Carroll, the likes of Robbie Nugent, sorry, and Brian Derwin, that they can get a foothold in this game? Or is it the fact that if Bridgets, do well defensively against the likes of Conor Glass and Emmett Bradley, they'll get a foothold on the game?
I think it's one of those things that I think Glenn have the advantages when it comes to midfield and defence. And one thing that they did well with Kilmacud Crokes was they made Crokes kick it long a lot into that game, where they made it uncomfortable for David Higgins to fire that ball out. And like, that's something that they have to make sure that they do again. They cannot let Pádraig Pearce's. They have to play to their. No, sorry, Pádraig, what am I talking about? They cannot let St. Bridget's go short, because that is completely playing into their hands. They have to make sure that they push right up on them and make them kick it out long into Conor Glass, into Emmett Bradley. Put Emmett Bradley one side, put Conor Glass down the middle, and put Ciarán McFall the other side, and make them kick it long. And then you could box them in by doing that. And by doing that, you could also strangle the good supply of ball that could get played into the likes of Ben O'Carroll, Bobby Nugent, Brian Derwin. Because if they don't get that ball, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that St. Bridget's scores will dry up. It's one of those things that I was saying to you on my part, is that what I truly believe is, if it's a game that is really tight and it's not the most free-flowing game, and the scores are being earned, like they're working hard to get these scores, working hard to get the right man in the right place to fire the ball over the bar, Glenn will win that game. Glenn will win that game by 3 points, 4 points, in my opinion. However, if it's a helter-skelter game where everything's going everywhere, and they're both trying to attack as quick as they possibly can, and it doesn't seem to be that much about who has midfield dominance, Bridges could win a game like that. Bridges could win a game like that, and they would be best advised to not try and play Glenn at Glenn's game. If you try and play, the slow, methodical game, it's not going to work for you. What you need to do is do what you're good at. Get the ball fast into the likes of Ben O'Carroll, Brian Derwin, Bobby Nugent, and see if they can make magic happen like they have made throughout the entire championship. Play the football that they were playing at the start of the Castlehaven game. They were on it at the start of that game. And then in the wide open spaces of Croke Park, I don't envy the poor guy who's going to be marking Ben O'Carroll, which I imagine will be either Ryan Duggan or Michael Warnock. But it's one of those games where Bridgets, there is a route to victory there for Bridgets. It's just whether I think that they can find it. Glenn, the way to victory there is obvious, in my opinion. Dominate the midfield, force Bridgets to kick it long. Michael Warnock on Brian Derwin or Bobby Nugent, and Ryan Duggan for me on Ben O'Carroll. And then try dominate the midfield, Ethan Doherty with his runarounds. Like, the reality is that the way that Glenn play, all you need to do is look at their scorers. They are not reliant on two forwards to kick all their scores. Their gameplay is move up together as a unit, work it to the right man in the right place, who seems to be a different man every time. And that man takes the shot for a point.
Yeah, exactly. So, and even looking at the stats on the Bridgets Castlehaven game in the All Ireland semi final, Bridgets had 14 kickouts, they won 64% and lost 35%. So, there is an avenue here for Whatty Graham then just to push up on the Bridgets kickouts and put pressure on them. But we talked about matchups there before we get on to a prediction and obviously the hurling final as well. Warnock is probably going to go on Ben O'Harrell. Ryan Duggan, you would imagine, will go on Bobby Nugent, and Conor Carvin probably on Brian Derwin. Would you probably agree with that, or do you think there's going to be any more switches? Like, even with Bridges and Whatty Graham's team, the other side of the pitch, Brian Stack will be interesting. And we mentioned in your pod that Brian Stack could even go to midfield and make it a three, and Ciarán McFaul could go into midfield for Whatty Graham's team. And we said in your pod as well, the winner of that midfield battle, the three against the three, will win this game.
I stand by it, yeah. I really, really do. I think that Stack could be moved out because I don't think they need him to mark. There's not a Brian Hurley in there today. Or sorry, for this game. There's not a Brian Hurley in there. There's not a Paul Manning or a Shane Walsh or like someone. Like there's not a Ben O'Carroll in there. There's not someone that they need someone to man mark. The way that Glenn play, they're not reliant on getting the ball to a certain forward at a certain time. So I think they won't necessarily be targeting mismatches. They'll just be trying to overpower Bridgetts around the midfield like they have done to pretty much every team that they've come up against. Their midfield dominance was key to getting the victory against Kilmacud Crokes. So, like, Bridgetts need to make sure that they do not get bullied around that midfield. And having Brian Stack in there, in my opinion, is a big decision that Jerome Stack should make. Move Brian Stack into the midfield. Trust that the rest of your defenders can handle the likes of Danny Tallon and everyone inside that forward line, like Alex Doherty, Jack Doherty, because I think they can. The way that Glenn play is they will move together with three or four or five lads moving into the attack, hand pass it off to someone off the shoulder, someone like a Connor Glass or Emmett Bradley that runs off the shoulder and they fire it over the bar. That's why Connor Glass and Emmett Bradley are in two of the top three scorers. They're not hanging around in the full forward line. It's because Glenn are moving forward as a unit and Glass and Bradley are timing it, coming off the shoulder, getting a hand pass and shooting. So Brian Stack should go out into the midfield and pick up someone like an Ethan Doherty, who is crucial to how Glenn move through the gears. But also having Brian Stack out there, he'd bring his physical power and he'd bring his ability because he's a cracking footballer as well as a brilliant defender. And for me, it's a massive one. He needs to move out there to go toe-to-toe with the Glenn midfielders and go toe-to-toe with the Young Footballer of the Year and Ethan Doherty for me.
If you were to say in a word who will win this game, who will it be?
Glenn. I'm so sorry. I've spent the last 2 minutes talking about how I think Bridgetts can get their route to victory. But I just feel, Glenn, it's their time. When you look at, you know, the heartbreak that they suffered last year, losing to Crokes, the debacle that went on at the end with the extra players on the pitch, they were absolutely right to feel robbed. They've come back. They've had all eyes on them from the start. Malik O'Rourke there as manager. The footballers that they have, Conor Glass, Emmett Bradley, Kieran McFaul, Danny Tallon, Ryan Dugan, Michael Warnock, Ethan Doherty. They are going to be absolutely determined to not let this punt pass them by. They have too good a team to not win an All-Ireland Club Championship. And make no mistake about it, Malik O'Rourke will be drilling that message into them. We are not leaving this behind us. We left it behind us last year. If they look at themselves honestly in the mirror, Crokes were the better team last year. They cannot let that happen again this year. They have to leave everything they have out on the pitch. And I think if they do, and if they push up on Bridgetts, make Bridgetts kick it long into the midfield, I think Glass, Bradley, McFaul, Ethan Doherty, I think they can help get them the upper hand around the midfield. And I think that they'll be able to pinch scores the way that they have been doing throughout the club championship. And I think they'll win by 3 points.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think Glenn will win this game by 3 points. I've said it from the start, why Graham Glenn will win the All-Ireland. I think they're not, you'd be hoping from a Wattie Graham Glenn point of view that they don't drop the ball now, because they haven't done so in Scotstown, against Niamh Quinnell, against Kilmacud, against Slotneil. They've, each and every challenge they've come up against, they've delivered. And it'd just be a shame for them, players in general, if they drop the ball now. And yeah, I just don't think they will at the moment. I think Wattie Graham Glenn will go on and win the final by, as you said there, by about 3 points, maybe even four. And that's what me and Seamus are both going with in that game in the All-Ireland final. Before we get on to the hurling, there's two questions that came in. Crocodile Ash, what do you think of the three Irish lads signed by the NFL? Just for context, it's Mark Jackson from Wicklow, Rory Began from Monaghan, and Charlie Smith from Down, just announced by Fintan O'Toole. Charlie Smith is an underage player for Down. Mark Jackson, obviously, been in goal for Wicklow for years, and Rory Began doesn't need no introduction. So, what do you think of them players in general, Seamus, going to American football?
Yeah, buzzing for them. Incredible athletes, all three of them. I think Began's the pick of the bunch, but like when you look at Mark Jackson for Wicklow, like Mark Jackson's such a crisp striker of the ball. Like, I mean, his free taking for Wicklow has been gorgeous. Like any time I've seen him kick a free, like it's like a Brian Sheehan-esque style of kicking. And yeah, I've always really liked him as a goalkeeper. And I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted for Beggin as well. You know, go over to the NFL, live the dream. Like, that's a hell of a move to make. And for Charlie Smith, such a early stage of his career, for him to get that opportunity, you know, absolutely delighted for him as well. Wish all three men the best of luck.
And couldn't put it better myself. And there's a fourth fella as well, while we're on this, Darragh Leader. I actually don't know who this guy is, but best of luck to him as well in these trials. It's trial that's happening, I think, Cardiff International of Florida, and training starts in January, and they have a chance to impress the scouts. And the decision, I think, will be made in March, whether they go to the NFL or not. And worth noting as well, a Welsh rugby player is on the list as well. Louis Rees-Zammit, if anybody knows him, he's a try scorer in the Six Nations. So for Rory Beggin and Mark Jackson in particular to be alongside an athlete like him, that shows what great players they are. Best of luck to all four Irishmen in general. And one more comment to come in here. Before we chat to hurling, what does Seamus think of Dublin? Does he think they'll go down downhill in another 2 or 3 years? Explain yourself, Seamus.
What do I think of Dublin? Do I think they'll go downhill in another 2 or 3 years? I think the level naturally has to come down from 2020. I mean, you're talking about what is the greatest Gaelic football team of all time. They won 6 All-Irelands in a row. Like, the level, unfortunately, does have to come down. And the reality is that, on paper, this is just a fact. Desi Farrell turned back to a lot of lads that had left. You know, Jack McCaffrey, Paul Mannion, and Stephen Cluxon. He went back to them to see if they'd come back and play for Dublin again. They came back, Dublin win the All-Ireland title. But 2022 and 2021, without those lads, Dublin weren't good enough to win the All-Ireland title. So the question is, what happens if they go this time? Have the lads that were coming into the team, have they improved to the level that Dublin can turn to them this time, and they'll be ready to keep the levels up to the same level? Like Aaron put it best. Aaron said, watching that All-Ireland final last year, and I said it as well, like in different words, where I said, I felt like Dublin were given everything that they had in that final to get over the line. And Aaron was saying that, as the same as me, that we both felt like Kerry could have played better. But I'm not sure how much better Dublin could have played. So, and Dublin won by 2 points. So it just felt like, right, that felt like the last dance. I know a few lads are staying on, but in the next decade, we'd be lucky to win half of the All-Irelands that we won over the 2010s. It's because that's a once in a lifetime team. It's like the Limerick Hurlers saying that whoever comes after Gerard Hegarty and Keane Lynch and should be as good as them. It's impossible. You're not going to be as good as those guys. Look at Kilkenny. Like, and however people say, oh, that's, you know, unthinkable that Dublin will go into the next decade and win, you know, what, 3 All-Irelands only in that decade. Look at Kilkenny. Kilkenny haven't won an All-Ireland hurling title since 2015. And before 2015, they were in the final, winning it pretty much every year, weren't they? So that is what Dublin are up against now. Dublin are looking at a situation where Desi did go back to the people that had left a couple of years previous, and he went back to them. They came back, Dublin won the All-Ireland title. But the question is now, what happens when they go again? Maybe they won't leave this year. We haven't heard anything that confirms that any of the three of them are gone. Like, we've heard nothing that any of the three of them are gone. The only one that is confirmed is gone is Dean Rock. But then you're saying, are we good enough? Do we have another one in the tank? Only time will tell. But I'm definitely fascinated to see an eye on it. There's some cracking young players coming through. Like, genuinely brilliant young players, like the likes of Luke Bratnock, Brian O'Leary. They've been really, really impressive. Adam Waddick at midfield is a super player. Time will tell.
Exactly so, and Danny, I see it does start next week, and it will be interesting to see how Dublin get on in that. And we'll get on to the hurling game, the All Ireland hurling final this weekend. It's O'Loughlin Gaels from Kilkenny against St Thomas's from Galway on Sunday at 1:30 in Croke Park on TG Carr. And we said it on your show, Seamus, and I think we'd repeat ourselves ever so slightly here. Whoever wins this, it'll be incredible scenes, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in many ways for both of these teams. Like, O'Loughlin Gaels knocked out Ballyhale Shamrocks, St Thomas has knocked out Ballygunner, and both of them are in the final against... And despite the fact that Ballygunner and Ballyhale were so fancied by many people, these two sides beat them and proved everybody wrong, so this is going to be a huge game for both these sides.
Yeah, again, I know you're probably sick to death of hearing me say it, but this is why I think this final is massive, because when you're talking about when is a game massive, it's when both teams have something to lose and both teams have an opportunity to lose in this game. It's like, realistically, these teams can't guarantee that they will get back to this stage for a while, because Ballygunner are going to be back next year. Ballyhale Shamrocks are going to be gunning for their revenge in the Kilkenny Championship next year. St. Thomas's have had people at their heels in Galway for a few years now. Loch Ray, Claren Bridge, like, they're all waiting for their opportunity to take out St. Thomas's. So it's not going to be easy for them at all to get out of the Galway Championship next year either. So for both of these teams, the question is, when are you going to get an opportunity like this again? Unsure. So you have to grab it with both hands while it's right here in front of you. And for both of these teams, that puts so much pressure on them. I think there will be a lot of mistakes at the start of the game. I think there'll be a lot of nerves at the start of the game, because they think they'll both be well aware of the opportunity that has presented itself to them. And so I think it's going to be a cracker of a game. I think it's going to be full of thrills and spills. And I think... There'll be one decisive moment, but I don't think there'll be more than a score in it.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely tight game, a titanic battle, as many people would say. But we'll look at O'Loughlin Gaels run to the final first and their scores before even discussing St Thomas's. So they beat Mullan of Bat from Kilkenny by 18 points to 210. So again, right off the bat, a very, very tough game, 2-point margin there. Beat Bennett's Bridge by 3 in the Kilkenny semi final, and then beat Ballyhale Shamrocks by a point in the Kilkenny final. In the Leinster Hurling Championship, they beat Mount Leinster Rangers, Kilcormac Colaghi and Nafina to win the Leinster title, as it turned out. And then they beat Rory Oak in the All-Ireland semi-final. They have averaged a scoring rate of 118 per game and averaged a good settle rate of 17 points. So brilliant statistics there for O'Loughlin Gaels, an average winning margin of 4 points. In the scoring stakes, their top scorer by far is Mark Bergen, 62 points. Owen Wall with 3 goals and 3 points is next. And then David Forty, Paddy Deegan, who coincidentally are two wingbacks with 10 points and 9 points. 19 points for play between them for both players. Conor Heary's done well as well in stage this season. And so has Paddy Butler. Conor Kelly's got a goal. Luke Hogan's got a goal. So it's clear to see they rely heavily in scores-related terms on Mark Bergen's frees. But we're pointing out, too, they've 3 of the best defenders in the country, with Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler and Paddy Deegan. Maybe that could be the difference on Sunday, too.
Definitely could, because those three have been leading from the front at every stage of the championship. Like, you think about Paddy Deegan. Paddy Deegan's performance against Nafina was out of this world. Like, I think, what did he get? 5 points from play?
Yeah,
in the half-back line, just a pure leader. Mikey Butler and Hugh Lawler are as good defenders in the country as you're going to get. Like, I think Hugh Lawler is the best fullback in the country. I think Mikey Butler is second to Sean Finn as the best cornerback in the country. Like, it's just, I don't think you're going to get better than that in a club championship defence. And I was saying on my pod that I give absolute massive maximum credit to Brian Hogan, and I think he's absolutely squeezed every bit of potential out of this team that he possibly could. That Paddy Deegan, Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler, they keep it locked down in defence, and Mark Bergen does the rest up front. 62 points, as you said. But, as you correctly said as well, 3-3 is their next top scorer. What happens if Mark Bergen has the worst game of his life? He massively tilts it in favour of St. Thomas's. So hopefully Bergen's form for O'Loughlin Gael's sake, hopefully Mark Bergen's form continues to the level that it has been continuing thus far.
Yeah, exactly. So, and yeah, O'Loughlin Gaels, they're heavily reliant on Mark Bergen in terms of freeze and all that. And the fact as well, in their top four scorers, you have the two wing backs, and they probably epitomise that their defence really drives on the team in general. And it should be interesting to see that dynamic on Sunday. Having a look at St. Thomas's, the Galway champions, obviously they didn't have a Connacht championship because there's no real Connacht County good at hurling other than Galway, unfortunately for them. So you have the Galway championship and the All-Ireland championship, of course. They beat Gort, Portumna pretty handily as well, and Turtleborg, Capitagal as well. Tough games started to come in the Galway semi-final. They beat Saracens by 3 points and Turlochmore by 2. So they were tough games. And obviously that Ballygunner game after extra time, 1-4-2 on penalties. They've averaged a scoring rate of 220 and they've averaged a concession rate of 115. So that's a winning margin of average margin of 8 points. So they are doing pretty well. O'Loughlin Gaels in comparison is 4 points. So maybe that could be equivalent on Sunday in a way. When you look at their scores, Conor Cooney obviously way on top with 2 goals and 73 points, but Ina Burke not too shabby. 4 goals, 25 points, 4 goals, 24 from play. Victor Manso with 112, Oisin Flannery with 109. Four of their players are above 10 points, which tells you all you need to know there with St. Thomas's. There is a large scoring spree across the board in many ways. Shane Cooney's there, Evan Duggan's there, David Burke. How's he still going? I never know. Fintan Burke is there. He actually only got 1 point, which is a bit surprising. And maybe he can set a light on Sunday. But so good scoring stats there for St. Thomas's. And yeah, some stats that could be relevant to Sunday's game too.
Yeah, I mean, like Conor Cooney is the main one that we were talking about. It was, I think I put the question to you on my pod, which free taker would you rather have going into this game, Conor Cooney or Mark Bergen? And just like the game itself, it's incredibly difficult to pick a favourite out of them two. They've both been outstanding. And in the All-Ireland semi-final, Conor Cooney hit 13 frees and Pádraic Mahony on the other side missed some crucial frees. So Conor Cooney's frees were absolutely vital for St. Thomas's in that game. And make no mistake about it, they're the main men for their teams. Conor Cooney and Mark Bergen are the main men in attack for both of their teams. Aina Burke is a brilliant sidekick, shall we say, to Conor Cooney. Like, if 425 is not bad at all, but he will probably get the Hugh Lawler treatment, and that will be the end of most most players' impacts on the game. It will be a massive test for Aina Burke to be marked by Hugh Lawler or Mikey Butler, and I think it will be a perfect opportunity to put his hand up for a place in the Galway team, because if he can smoke one of them in the All-Ireland Club Final, that's the perfect litmus test to say that he's ready to go into inter-county hurling. Because he has been a brilliant hurler for St. Thomas's for years and been a key player in, you know, their six in a row in Galway. So why has he not nailed down a place in the Galway team? Who knows? And maybe if he smashes it in this final, he might be put right in there. I think as well, like, Cooney's performances have been fantastic. The semi-final one was brilliant. David Burke, you're right, like, to come back from the injury that he sustained and to just be back looking as good as he does is insane. Fintan Burke and Shane Cooney keep the defence real tight. They're a very solid team, and a lot of people underrated them before the All-Ireland semi-final against Ballygunner, based off the performance against Dunloy the year previous, where they just had an awful day at the office and Dunloy took them out. But they came back with a vengeance this year, and a fantastic display. Took out Ballygunner on penalties. Yeah, they will be absolutely desperate to grab another All-Ireland club title.
We talked about matchups in the Wattie Grahams Lane and the Bridges game, and I'm going to talk about them matchups here. Who do you think Mikey Butler would pick up? Because that's the million-dollar question. You've seen what he's done to Tony Kelly in the two All-Ireland semi-finals. So which forward will Mikey Butler pick up in this game?
I find it very difficult to say who I think he's going to pick up. I think Hugh Lawler will probably take Aina Burke. Maybe Victor Manso?
Possibly.
Maybe. Where's James Regan playing? Is he midfielder in the forwards?
Not entirely sure. Double check now, but
I think he's played a couple of games around midfield. So, but I know he used to play for Galway in the forwards.
Yeah, but even like Conor Cooney or
I think Conor Cooney will get Paddy Deegan.
Do you really think so? You don't think Paddy Deegan has an opportunity in this game for to roam for O'Loughlin Gaze, because he did.
They might put Deegan. Do you know what? That's a really good point. They might move Deegan more into the middle and try to let him roam, because Thomas's have, like, David Burke is in there. Thomas's have a strong midfield. Very difficult to know what they'll do. Paddy Deegan is massively important when you see the driving force he was going forward against Nafina with 5 points from play. Maybe they will try and let him have that role again, especially given it's on the same pitch. Thomas's haven't played in Croke Park for a long, long time. So it does benefit O'Loughlin Gaels that they were there for the Nafina Leinster final only this year. So that's massively important to them. I feel like they probably will try let Paddy Deegan do his roaming role again. Probably I'll put David Fogarty on Conor Cooney then.
Even look at their forward, St. Thomas's against Ballygunner. And to answer your question there, James Regan played Conor forward in that game.
He could get Mikey Butler then.
Could do. Yeah, like Ian Burke played full forward. So would Hugh Lawler take him?
Hugh Lawler's coming in a Burke, I think, yeah.
Victor Manso played at number 12, Conor Cooney number 11, Darbrook number 10, O'Shane Flannery at 15.
Flannery, actually. O'Shane Flannery is good. I think, actually, yeah, no, I changed that. I think Mikey Butler goes on him.
Okay, interesting opinions there. Like, actually, the man of the match in the Ballygunner game was Evan Duggan, and he came on at the 22nd minute of the second half, which is quite astonishing.
Yeah.
Will he start this game, do you think?
Unsure, because if he had such a good impact off the bench, maybe you want to keep him there for, you know, if the game's going down to the wire this time. He'll feature, no question about it, he'll feature. I think that they'll bring him off the bench. I think that he'll get the Kevin McManaman treatment. It doesn't matter how well you do coming off the bench, you're staying on the bench. For me personally, if I was in their position, I'd keep him in reserve and release him in about the 40th minute. This time,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. Actually, would they put him with David Burke in midfield this time? Like, it's going to be interesting. It really is going to be interesting in terms of that. And you look at O'Loughlin Gaze midfield, Cian Loy and Jack Nolan. In fairness, they're good lads. They have performed well in this championship so far. But if David Burke and Evan Duggan are going to come up against them, that's going to be a tough battle for the two O'Loughlin Gaze midfielders.
No, it is. It's going to be a really, really tough battle. It's going, like, you'd argue that almost St. Thomas's almost have a stronger midfield than Ballygunner, which is crazy to say. But like David Burke, the amount of experience that he has, Evan Duggan, the impact he made coming off the bench in that game, like as you said, a finish with man of the match. Like, that's absolutely insane. And so, like, the reality is, it's going to be massively important for O'Loughlin Gaels to be able to go toe-to-toe. That's why I think Paddy Deegan will be allowed to roam a little bit so that he can have an impact in the midfield as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting in this final. But this is the toughest question. We've gone over stats and gone over matchups and obviously players starting and stuff like that. But this is the toughest question. And it usually isn't, but it is a tough question. Who is going to win the All-Ireland Hurling Club title? Will it be O'Loughlin Gaels from Kilkenny or will it be St. Thomas's from Galway? It's going to be a big, big call this.
Like, we've been over and back on this now on your show, my show. Still, I'm unconfident in my prediction, but I've predicted St. Thomas's to take it and I will stick with them. Just have a feeling that they're going to get over the line. O'Loughlin Gaels, look, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised if O'Loughlin Gaels win this game. A flip a coin right here. Heads, O'Loughlin Gaels. Tails, St. Thomas's. And yeah, like genuinely, that's as confident as I am in it. They are both absolutely fantastic teams. Conor Cooney has the potential to lead them to victory by himself. I just feel like that's why I'm leaning to St. Thomas's, is that O'Loughlin Gaels are very reliant on Mark Bergen and his form. They are very reliant on him. And if he has in any way an off day, Conor Cooney didn't against Ballygunner. And he hit his 13 frees while Pádraig Mahaney missed some big ones. And I just feel like maybe St. Thomas's might have slightly more, like genuinely 1 point.
That's all it's going to be, a grain of rice, as Paulie O'Shea famously said, while in the West Mead job. And one fella actually in the comment section actually agrees with you, Seamus. Both teams like to be physical, but I think the Galway lads at St. Thomas's can shove them around no bother going off the last match, if I had to predict. So a good few people are predicting St. Thomas's, but this is honestly a toss of a coin, isn't it? I'm going to stick with O'Loughlin Gaels. I just think, yes, they're very, very reliant on Mark Bergen, and they need their defensive players like Paddy Deegan, Hugh Lawler, Mikey Butler, David Fogarty, etc., to step out and assert their dominance. But at the same time, when you look at the last few games they've been involved in, Rory O'Cushendall, tough battle. They got over the line in the end. Nafina, they've been behind so many times in that game in Croke Park, got over the line. The Kilkenny final against Ballyhale Shamrocks, with TJ Reid and Owen Cody and all them great players for Kilkenny, they got over the line in that game as well. I back O'Loughlin Gaels, but again, it's a grain of rice again. It's a point.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a point. And the more you were talking there, the more I was like, oh, stop. You're making me want to change my mind. And I've already said that I think Thomas is a good win.
It's going to be a tough one to call, definitely. And to be honest, if you're on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence, no matter what side of the fence you are, you wouldn't be disregarded whatsoever, because it's such a tough game to call this.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's like, I completely understand why you're going with O'Loughlin Gaels, and I know that you understand why I'm going with Thomas's. It's grain of rice between them.
Exactly. So, and those are the two all of the final previews. And before we leave you, there's two more comments that have come in. Just a statement here on the Limerick team. The current Limerick team is full of the full product of the academy, the next gen coming from underage or at such a high level that they're pushing the standards of the first team even further. That's a relevant point, to be fair. And Limerick teams like Shane O'Brien, for example, Adam English, who's an excellent young player coming through, maybe they're... Aidan O'Connor, excellent young player as well. Maybe they're inspired by the Limerick team as well. So Limerick do have a very good future. There's no doubt about that. Especially Shane O'Brien. Look out for him. Colin O'Neill's still a young player as well. So look out for them, Limerick players. This is about Galway football, this comment. So I think Galway in 2022 were just a one-hit team. They weren't anyway good as they look. What happened that year, Mayo beat them. So in 2023, that is. So... yeah, a lot of people actually saying Galway will win the All-Ireland. Maybe that's a discussion for next week. To see if I think that's a comment from. Oh yeah, that's an old comment. But maybe that's a discussion for next week for the Allianz League Football League. And while we're on the Allianz Football League, there's prediction videos coming out on my channel for Division 3, Division 4 first, and then Division 1 and Division 2. So check those out when you have the chance in the next few days. But we are, in this particular podcast, we are going to wrap it up at 23 minutes. So a lot of time being spent on the Super Value Park stuff and, of course, the Ireland Finals. So if you like the live stream, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Follow Gaelic Stats on Instagram, Twitter. Obviously, follow Seamus' channel, Unclear, as well. Subscribe to his channel on YouTube. So until the next video, guys, thanks very much for tuning in, and good luck to all four teams in Croke Park this Sunday.